Go with me, if you would, back to 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter 1. There is a word that is used over and over again throughout 1 and 2 Peter that emphasizes what Christ and the things of Christ are to Peter and to all of God's people. And that word is precious. Precious. It's used over and over again. He said in verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. He said the faith that God gives to His people. And if the Lord will allow us to, we can really enter into this. The faith that God gives to His people, Peter said, that's precious. And it is, isn't it? It is. It's precious in the sense that it's rare. It truly is rare. God-given faith. True God-given faith in Christ. And in the things of Christ. And in the Word of Christ. That's a rare thing to find. That's a rare thing to find in another human being. Therefore, it's precious. It's precious in the sense that it's rare. It's precious in the sense that it's valuable. Very valuable. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. The scripture says, the soul who has faith in Christ has life in Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. In all things, faith in Christ, faith in all things, the value of the gift of faith, so valuable, it's precious. So his faith is precious. And if you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, go back a few pages to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 18, Peter said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Peter said his blood is precious. And it is, isn't it? How could we begin to describe the preciousness of His blood? How could we begin to describe the preciousness of His blood? It is the most valuable substance that there is. The most costly substance that there is. It was the only thing valuable enough to pay the great sin debt that God's people had against Him. It was the only thing that could pay it. There wasn't enough corruptible things in the world to pay it. So His faith that He gives is precious. His blood that He gave is precious. And look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. 1 Peter 2, verse 6, Peter said, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. What is that stone? Well, that's a person. That's Christ. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect. God the Father said, I choose Him. Behold, my servant, mine elect. God's people are elect in Him. God's people are only chosen in Him. The Father said, I choose Christ. And every soul that the Father put in Christ is chosen in Him. So verse 6 says, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Verse 7 says, unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. He's precious. And oh, He is, isn't He? So precious. The song says, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Another song says, all that thrills my soul is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is more than life to me. God's people can say that. God's people can truly say that. He is more than life to me. He's more than this life to me. That song says, and the fairest of 10,000s in my blessed Lord I say. One more says, oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, precious, more precious than gold. His faith is precious. His blood is precious. He is precious. And if you look back at our text, go with me back to 2 Peter 1. Verse 4 says, His promises are precious. Verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Exceeding great and precious promises. That's what God's people have been given. That's what they're holding to. That's what they're looking to and clinging to. That's what they believe. That's what they trust. His precious promises. All the promises of God are precious. And 2 Corinthians 1:20 says they're all yea and amen. They're all yes and so be it. He said it, He'll do it. Now this is what I want us to focus on tonight. The first word in verse 4 says, whereby. Whereby. That means through what was just said in the first three verses. Whereby. In that. Because of that. Through that. We have been given these exceeding great and precious promises. He went on to say in verse 4 that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. That by these, you might have hope. Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I've titled this message, My Hope is Built On. That's the title. Because of that, through that, whereby, because of those things, my hope is built on. Now let's see what is said in the first three verses. And in this, every child of God is going to be able to say, yep, my hope is built on that right there. That's what my hope is built on. All right, verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Now here is where the hope that is in a child of God begins. This is where hope, true hope, this is where hope begins. It begins with the faith that God gives to all of His people. Every single one of them. Faith in the Word of God. God opens their eyes, God opens their ears, God opens their heart. And all of a sudden, they have faith in the Word of God. That means faith in the person of Christ. And it also means faith in every word that God has written concerning Christ. You can't separate the two. You cannot separate the two. To have faith in Him is to have faith in every word concerning Him. Faith in the Word is in the person. And it's in the book concerning Him. It's to have faith in every word concerning us too. It's to have faith in every word. Every single word. To have faith in His Word is to have faith in every word of it. Every word. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What do believers believe? If you want to separate the difference in a true believer and someone who's only giving lip service, what does a true believer believe? Here's the answer. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word that is said concerning Christ, salvation, man, every word. Every single word. The Word says Christ is holy, harmless, and undefiled. And the Word says, I am ruined, wretched, and dead in sin. God-given faith says, I believe that. I truly do believe that. Sometimes you'll run into people and quote the Word. Sometimes the Lord will open a door and you'll be able to quote the Word. Just quote a verse of Scripture to somebody. And sadly, the response will be, I don't believe that. Well, God-given faith does. True saving faith does. Says, I believe that. This Word says God chooses sinners and sinners don't choose God. God-given faith says, I believe that. This Word says Christ does all the work in salvation and man does none of the work in salvation. God-given faith says, I believe that. I see it. I hear it. And not only do I believe it, I rejoice in it. And I find hope in it. I hope in it. God-given faith says, I even believe that the faith that I have is not of myself. That's God's gift to me. I don't even get the glory for believing. I can't even make a work out of believing. I believe that without Him working in me and performing the work of faith for me, I could never even believe. It's not my faith. This is what God-given faith says. It's not my faith. It's His faith. It's the faith of Christ. It's His faith that He gives. He's the author of it. He's the finisher of it. He's the performer of it. He's the object of it. God-given faith says, I believe that. I do. Whatever this Word says concerning anything, I believe that. So that's the foundation of a believer's hope. Because he knows the fact that I believe means God has already shown kindness to me. Understanding that he couldn't even believe unless God in love and kindness hadn't first given him faith to believe and performed that work in him. Just to believe gives hope because it means God has already shown kindness. It's the evidence of the fact that God has already looked my way. I believe his word. So because of his faith, this light, precious faith that all of God's people, it says, obtain. A child of God can say, I have hope. I have hope. Look with me at Acts 24. Acts chapter 24, the Apostle Paul said in verse 14, But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, they say, I can't believe you believe that. He said, after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. He said, because God has given me faith in Him and faith in His Word, because of that, I have hope. I have hope in this resurrection. I have hope of escaping this corruption, all because of His Word, faith in His Word. Go with me back now to 2 Peter 1. Verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He said righteousness, salvation, grace, peace. In the promise of His Word, we have the promise of His justice. We have the promise of His righteousness, the fact that He must do right. We have the promise of peace with Him through His grace, the promise of His justice, His just, righteous dealings with our sin. We have the promise that God is a just God and a Savior. We have the promise that He has justly justified His people. That's a critical thing to know and believe in and hope in. That He has justly, rightly, righteously dealt with our sins. And it's satisfactory to God. It's satisfactory to the law. Everything is put away rightly. Christ did it all perfectly and rightly. So rightly that the just demands of God, His just dealings on our sin, they'll never be brought up ever again. That's why it's so critical. If it was not put away rightly, then our sins could come up again and have to be dealt with again. But God put them away. It's over. They're done. Righteousness has come through Christ our Savior. Grace and peace have been multiplied through His sacrifice for us. That's what came from His sacrifice on our behalf. Grace, this free gift, free blood, free redemption, and peace. Grace and peace, peace with God, has been multiplied to God's people through His sacrifice for us. And His Word says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. Because justice for our sin was satisfied in Him, because justice says the war is over, it's all over, justice now demands for grace and peace to be multiplied to God's people in Christ. That's a wonderful demand. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 6. I love this portion of Scripture. I love what these verses say right here. Hebrews 6, verse 13, it says, for when God made promise to Abraham, God made a promise. Abraham was clinging to a promise. His hope was in a promise. God made a promise to Abraham. And it says, when God made promise to Abraham, because God could swear by no greater, He swore by Himself. I love the thought of that. Because there was nothing greater for him to swear his oath to Abraham. He swore by his own self. Verse 14 says, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by a greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. He confirmed it by an oath. It's not going to change. He made a promise. He confirmed it by an oath. And it's not going to change. Verse 18, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Our hope goes all the way into the veil. Verse 20 says, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. All of God's people can say, my hope is built on His justice. His absolute justice. The justice that demands what's right. This is what my hope is built on. When He dealt with me, He did it right. He did it right, and it's done. Because my sins were paid for within that veil by my high priest, Jesus Christ my Lord, because of that, His oath and His covenant and His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. Jeremiah penned in Lamentations chapter 3, he said, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. This is what gives me hope. And this is what gives God's people hope. It is of the Lord's mercies, because blood was already shed, and God is already satisfied. He said, it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Our hope is built on His word. Our hope is built on His justice. And if you go with me back to 2 Peter 1, verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. His divine power. His divine power. I'll tell you what gives a child of God hope. His divine power. His divine power. Turn over to Romans 4. Romans 4, again, concerning Abraham. Verse 17, it says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's what gave him hope. Who against hope believed in hope. Abraham believed in the power and the ability of his God. And so do we. So do God's people. Abraham believed. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able also to perform. And that's what we believe, isn't it? That's what our hope is built on. Our hope is built on all of these precious promises that he's given to us in his word of how he's dealt with our sins and prepared a place in glory for us. And our hope is built on the fact that he's able to do what he said he has done and will do. He's able. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, he said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He's able. That leper who came to the Lord begging to be healed. Don't you love that story of that poor man? He was just covered with leprosy. And he came to the Lord begging to be healed. This is what he said. He said, Lord, if you will, you can. I believe that's one of the greatest prayers a sinner could pray. Lord, if you will, you can. This is what gives God's people hope. His word, his justice, his power. His power. He is able. If you will, you can. Here's the last thing we'll mention tonight on what gives God's people hope. All right, here's the last thing. He can and he will. He can and he will. We have hope because he is so willing. He is. He is so willing. We hope in his mercy because he is so willing to show it. Does that not give you hope? For sinners like us, whenever you are so down and so low and so wretched and miserable in yourself because of your sin and what you are, does it not give you hope that the one thing you need, he is so willing to show it? So willing to show it. Go with me back to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. His willingness can be summed up by saying his love. His love. Oh, the love that has drawn us to himself. Drawn us, called us to his glory and his virtue. He's called us, united us, drawn us to himself. Oh, the love that drew salvation's blueprint. Oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the blood that bought me. Oh, the loving, willing grace that brought me into the fold. Called me into the fold. Wondrous grace that lovingly, willingly brought me to the fold. After that leper said, if you will, you can make me clean. Right after he said that, every time I think about that whole scenario, I think it's so precious. It is so precious. That poor leper, he said, if you will, you can make me clean. Immediately, this is what the Lord said. He said, I will, be thou clean. That's beautiful. That's precious, isn't it? precious. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We just quoted what Jeremiah penned in Lamentations 3. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. He went on to say right after that, it's because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is the faithfulness of His love to His people. Great is the faithfulness. Just like His grace and just like His mercy and just like everything else that pertains to us in Him. His love is free. His love is eternal. His love is infinite. His love is unchangeable. Never will He turn His love away. Never will He take His love back from the ones He gave it to. Never. And that fact right there gives all of God's people hope. It gives them hope. David said in Psalm 42, verse 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His confidence." We hope in His Word. We hope in His justice. We hope in His power. And we hope in the willingness and faithfulness of His love to us. Every child of God can say, that's what my hope is built on. That's exactly what my hope is built on. Verse 4 says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." If we are going to be partakers of the divine nature, His divine nature, if we are going to escape this corruption, it is only going to be by His Word, who is a person. It's only going to be by His justice, His just dealings with us through that person. It's only going to be by His power, the right arm of His power, who is a person. And it's only going to be by His love, who is only found in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that. I do. I believe that. And I know that you believe it too. Therefore have we hope. Hope through the precious promises of our precious Lord. All right, let's close our service with a hymn. It's going to be 495.